Blog Talk Radio.
Happiness, and of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing just fine. Today's show is going to touch on an area that may affect you, it may not affect you, but for most of us, it affects somebody that we know. And what is that area? That area is having to work with bosses, supervisors, executives, so forth and so on, that are abusive, that are mistreating you, that are putting you through more stress than it's possibly worth. And today what we're going to do basically is we're going to tell a story. And from that story, you can decide on whether it fits you or not, and then you know hopefully we'll get some people that call in and may want to share some of their experiences with the workforce. If anyone is interested in calling in, of course, the number is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471. And that's if you have any comments or would like to call in for anything or even ask a question, we'll do our best to answer it. Well, as we all know that today we're in a very interesting economical time. It's not the first time that this has happened in our world or in our nation. However, it's kind of cyclical in the sense that, you know, every so many years, we seem to go through this little circle where we have problems in our financial world. Well, unfortunately, what a lot of us don't seem to realize is that you work a job, and that job is for, of course, someone else's goal. Your goal is to feed your family. Your goal is to be able to feed yourself, take care of your bills and your responsibilities. And as you've heard me say many times, most people don't seem to understand that as we go through our evolution in life, we also have different areas where we're supposed to evolve. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't evolve. Some of us don't have the drive. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of us don't have the inkling. Some of us don't have the belief. I think a lot of times what it is that most of us don't have the belief. But please, before we even go into the story, understand this. Understand that there are really good employers out there. And also understand that there are really good people out there. It's just that we don't necessarily seem to run into as many of them as we'd like. But there's also a ton of opportunity out there. The other day, or yesterday, I actually went to Arlington Cemetery and participated in the Reefs Across America program. So basically, I volunteered my time, and I went there along with hundreds of other people, not just me. And we placed reefs, over 100,000 reefs, on the graves at the cemetery, the National Cemetery in Arlington. So the reason I bring that up is because I want everybody to understand that there really are a lot of good people out there. But I also want you people that are in certain levels of management and position to also realize that none of us got there on our own. We have all stood on the shoulders of greatness. We have all stood on the shoulders of others. And their sacrifices is what has given us the opportunity to be able to have the opportunities in which we've had, be it that you went to college, be it you didn't go to college, be it that you were a military person, not a military person, be it that you're an executive or not an executive. Understand that at each level of power, at each level of what you perceive and believe to be control, as you raise up that ladder, supervisors, executives, and so forth, you lose your permission and your authority to treat people poorly. Why? Because now more people are under your control. More people are actually relying on you to help them to grow and to develop. But anyway, with no further ado, let's go ahead and move on. Today we're going to have a story. The story is about a guy by the name of Mike. Well, Mike, like most people, went through high school, and as Mike went through high school, Mike decided, okay, I want to go ahead and maybe take some college courses, maybe take some vocational courses. I want to be a success in my life. Well, working to become a success in his life, you know, Mike does pretty good in high school, does pretty good in college. Well, all of a sudden, maybe even Mike goes in the military. And in the end, Mike finds himself in a job. Well, Mike's got a go-getter kind of attitude. What does Mike do? Mike is the kind of person that's not looking at his job description and having that limit what he can and can't do. What Mike is doing is he's taking that job description and he's putting a little bit of Mike into it. What he's doing is he's saying, okay, this needs to be done, and if nobody else wants to do it, then I guess I need to do it. So what does Mike do? Mike does more than what he's paid for. Mike, again, doesn't limit himself to a job description. So he goes into the job with this attitude. He's dressed appropriately. He talks appropriately, and he's doing the things that he needs to do. Well, quickly, relatively quickly in his time, even quicker than he believes, he finds himself after, I don't know, maybe 6 months to 11 months, he's promoted. He's promoted. Now, he was originally hired because of his experience as a supervisor. So he takes that experience as a supervisor, and he takes the experience of how he's seen other supervisors treat him and other people, and he implements those tools, like most of the people around with any kind of sense. He implements those tools into how he does business, into how he conducts himself with the people that are in his charge. And what happens? Mike slowly starts to produce results. Those results end up, of course, making Mike one of the people that is liked. But Mike also notices, and I'm sure most of you have noticed, that as you go up the ranks, just like when you come in, there's people that have already written you off. There are people that have already decided that you're only going to go so far because you're an upstart, you're a threat. And why are you a threat to these people? Because they have other agendas. Well, as Mike goes through his transition from being a supervisor to, you know, other positions within the job, or what I would call collateral duties, Mike gets promoted and he ends up becoming, let's say, the quality person. So he's now a supervisor and he's the quality person, quality assurance person. Then from there, he ends up getting other little collateral duty jobs that are added to his plate. And when I say added to his plate, he ends up, you know, starting to write programs or do other things to try to help the institution or the organization grow. And in turn, the way that Mike feels, he's also helping the employees that he's been given responsibility of to also help them to grow and help them to mature. Now, during Mike's time going up through the company, he also realizes that even the people that he's trying to help in some cases don't want help. So that adds a little bit to his pain and his suffering. And, of course, it makes Mike, like it would anybody, a little confused. Then, as Mike goes ahead and implements the individual policies, practices, and procedures of the institution, he takes onus in them, and he just passes it on to his fellow employees, letting them know that, you know, these particular rules have been put in place. Not passing the buck, not trying to diffuse blame or anything like that, but just taking responsibility. Well, unbeknownst to Mike, Mike starts taking a little bit more of the slings and arrows. And what is he taking the slings and arrows of? He's taking the slings and arrows from people that do not want to have change. And if they do have change, they only want change that they can control. They only want change in which they can dictate the terms. And the weird thing is that most of the people that are fighting the change aren't looking forward enough to see that the change is needed, the change is required, and that the change is something that will actually help them to move to their next level. It will open doors for them. Why? Because most people are scared of change. They're scared of adjustment. So anyway, Mike keeps treadling on, and he explains stuff to people, which is something that most of the other supervisors in the particular corporation that he works in doesn't do. Mike takes time out of his schedule to stop doing whatever it is that he's doing when an employee comes in and has a question. Or sometimes he'll pull his collars up or, you know, pull his sleeves up, and he'll actually get on the floor and work with his people, creating what you would believe is a relationship and a rapport from the people in which he's been put in charge of. Now, mind you, he doesn't have to do this. but he figures that this will help him to understand the people that he's working with and also give him the opportunity to get to learn how they think, what's going on with them, and how he can better assist them because what? He wants to be a leader that leads by example. He wants to be a leader that says, I will do the same things that you do, and I'm not really going to ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. So Mike is a leader. In the five levels of leadership, Mike has gone from leadership level one to leadership level two. He's got the buy-in of the individuals that are there. They're starting to understand, not everybody. You know, he's got the buy-in of some of the people that are above him. They're starting to watch him a little bit more. That's why they promoted him and have given him these other tasks, which he's done relatively well. Nothing's perfect, but he's done everything that he can do. Well, as time goes on, Mike's not stupid. Mike sees that there's different people within the organization that really don't seem to mean him any well, be it in fellow employees and bosses, I don't really like that word, but other executives or supervisors that are above him, in which he may not be directly supervised by, but they do have a controlling interest over what happens when it comes to the company or to Mike. Okay, so as Mike is going on through this, Mike is starting to see that on both sides, there's a consistency of inconsistencies. Mike is also starting to see now that different people have different agendas. Those different agendas are agendas that are going to become more and more stressful to Mike as things go on. But of course, Mike, being a gung-ho, hard-charging, dedicated employee, feels that as he continues to implement these things, as he continues to follow the rules, as he continues to explain to staff so that they're not operating with part of the information, but as much of the information as he can possibly give them, they're going to appreciate it and actually become better employees and work to also grow themselves and develop and maybe accept some of the change in which he's trying to help them to understand is happening, while also trying to make them to understand that a lot of these changes aren't necessarily his changes. They're changes that the company has decided need to be taking place, but Mike is trying to find the most non-caustic way or the non-harshest way of actually sharing these things with people. Hopefully I'm not losing anybody. Okay. Well, Mike is doing everything he can do to make the job, the workplace, as great as possible. However, Mike is finding in little snippets that the other people that are in control aren't liking the fact that Mike is in control. They're not liking the fact that Mike is implementing things and getting the respect of his fellow employees and the employees underneath him. They're not appreciating the fact that they have someone else that they may want to put into that position, okay, be it favoritism, whatever, sexual harassment, however you want to look at it. There's people that they can't put into those positions. Why? Because Mike is doing a bang-up job. So this is where the tactics start to happen. This is where the extra stress and the unnecessary stresses start to happen. Mike, again, being a person that wants to go ahead and do the job to the best of his ability, continuously takes on more and more tasks. Well, as Mike takes on more and more tasks from his supervisors and executives, he's unable to continue to do the things and put as much emphasis and as much time into some of the employees. But Mike doesn't like that idea. Why? Because that relationship, that ability to communicate with others is one of the things that is his gifts. So it's helped him to grow, and also he looks at the people that he works with as fellow partners in his success, as he believes that he is a partner in their success. So Mike starts putting in more and more time on his own, not only on the projects and tasks that he's been given, but also on the projects and tasks that he knows he needs to do because of his position, his level of responsibility, and his level of responsibility to the people that work underneath him, even though it may be way outside of his normal 40 hours a week. So, as Mike is constantly trying to balance these things out, Mike is also being bombarded by other executives, be it it's the human resources executive, it's the finance and accounting executive, and their we'll call them cronies, or their partners in crime, so to speak. So Mike finds himself working and working and working harder and harder. Then, of course, like most people that are abused by their supervisors and executives, Mike is a salaried employee, so there is no such thing as a 40-hour day. So we go from a 40-hour day to a 42-hour day, to a 45-hour day, to a 50-hour week, to a 60-hour week, to a 65-hour week. So now what's happening? Because one of the executives, which in this particular case or for the story is a woman, happens to be having a relationship with another supervisor underneath Mike and seems to be so inculcated or so enrooted into the corporate fiber that they become what we would call an untouchable, Mike is now starting to get stresses and pressures because guess what? Now those people are starting to weave their nets. They're starting to weave their webs. They're starting to lay little traps trying to catch Mike out there. And will they win? Here's the interesting thing. Ladies and gentlemen, in the end, you can't beat those types of odds. The only way that you can beat those types of odds is if you have somebody that's in that upper tier that has the chutzpah, that has the knowledge, and also is actually willing to see what's going on. But in the workforce in which most of us are engaged in, there are so many people vying for jobs. There are so many people that are just trying to survive, and there are so many people that just don't care. Then if you fall on your sword, you fall on your sword. But needless to say, as we've gone on through this, Mike's life has become more and more stressful. Mike's life has become more and more unbearable. Why? Because Mike is now not spending time with his family. Mike is making more money, but he's got less time to use that money for. Mike is twirling around, getting sick, getting stressed. You know, his relationship with his family is starting to deteriorate. And all of the good things that Mike thought would happen from him being able to move up through the lines are not happening. Now, sometimes the discriminations or the prejudices or the problems can have to do with race. Sometimes they can have to do with favoritism, nepotism. Sometimes they could have to do with just another person just doesn't like you. Let's be honest. You could be the greatest thing since sliced bread. If there's people that don't like you and they're in a high enough position, there's really not much that you can do with it. So my story is to come back to the fact that Mike, which started off as a motivated, dedicated employee, is now being constantly abused, constantly being given tasks, being micromanaged, not only by his direct supervisor, but by other supervisors and managers, as Mike's levels of responsibility have grown. So the tasks have grown and grown and grown. The quality time that Mike had no longer exists. Mike's family is starting to feel abused and neglected and mistreated because Mike's not there to do the things that he needs to do, because Mike's got kids, Mike's got a wife, and this could be for a man or a woman, so please don't, I'm just using Mike as a particular tool, but this stress also has to do with women. Anybody that's in a supervisory role and is being grossly and unquestionably abused by their employee, by their employer. So, Mike is now, let's say, at one of the upper levels of management, but not the upper levels. He's not an executive. But Mike has found himself in a situation where he's got a particular manager that's, for the most part, a little older than the person that they're involved with. However, that person wants this other person in a certain position. Mike is also a person of character. So when Mike has dealt with some of the other employees that now this particular person wants to move up the ladder, and that person wants to remove things from the individual's personnel file or anything like that, and they bring it to Mike. Mike tells them, well, you know, this person got written up just like the rest of the people. And of all the people that got written up for the same thing, why are you, as in that other executive, coming to him with a, you know, you want to remove this from this person's file. Now, if you're going to remove it from that person's file, then by right, you need to remove that same write-up, those same charges from every other person that actually was written up at the same time for pretty much the same offense. This particular executive, of course, decides that they won't do that. They decide that you need to agree with them. Mike refuses to agree with them. So needless to say, here goes another thing. And here's the bad thing about a lot of people. People don't like to be wrong. And if you've got a person that's become that much of a dictatorial force and a negative environment, that negative environment isn't going to go away. It's only going to get worse. And, of course, Mike doesn't chicken out. Now, most of you have probably gone to some of your other executives or other people within your chain of command, and you've explained to them that, listen, it's getting to be a little intolerable. Well, for most, keep in mind, and this is something that Mike didn't really realize, was that that relationship that you had with that other executive, that relationship is probably not as strong as the relationship as that executive has with the executive and partner in their company. Plus that, birds of a feather kind of flock together, and that person is also trying to protect their six. So, you, as a Mike, are going to continually get bombarded and continually get bombarded and continually get bombarded, and eventually you're probably going to say, you know what, enough is enough. Well, for all of you out there that decide that enough is enough, you probably waited a bit too long. Now, I understand that we all have responsibilities. I understand that we all have other things on our plate. But I understand, too, that this was a situation that you nor I could probably win, and neither Mike. You're eventually going to be the victim of what's going on. You have to do everything that you can do to maintain your sanity, and everything that you can do to maintain your calm. If you need to find hobbies and things like that to do, do. But the main thing that most of us would need to do is probably remove ourselves from that situation, because know now that situation is only going to get worse. However, don't you, as the individual being abused, being mistreated, going under the stress, don't you swing out at others that have nothing to do with your problem. Others that are not part of the problem. Also know that most people are trapped. They're trapped in a mindset of negativity. They're trapped in a mindset of WIIFM, what's in it for me? And if they don't see anything in it for them, even though your sacrifice may be totally for them, then guess what? They're never going to get it. And most of the reason is that they don't care. So my story today was about Mike, but my story is about any supervisor or person that's being abused and maltreated by the individual companies that are doing it to them. And it's not right. It's not fair. But that doesn't change the fact that it's happening to millions of individuals every day. So, if you're being mistreated and maltreated by supervisors, being it that you've got an executive that's in love with another supervisor and they're trying to promote that person up, be it that you're going through sexual harassment, be it that you're going through racial problems with that person, be it it's a cultural problem, understand that it's not you. Also understand that that person's problem is that person's problem. Find your way out. Don't put yourself through so much stress that you're constantly getting sick, that you're constantly stressed, that you're constantly going and taking that anger, that stress, that tension out on other people. Find yourself, other than negative ways, a positive way to get yourself out of that situation, and in the meantime, to help you to balance yourself out. Understand that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Doesn't matter how much money they pay you. If you don't have your health and if you don't have your state of mind, you don't have anything. All right? We've had a lot of incidents, especially in the United States, where people have been frustrated, upset, pissed off with other people, maybe not necessarily in the workplace, but as a whole. And these same people have lashed out at others. Don't lash out at others. especially others that have no idea what's going on and nothing to do with what's going on. If you're going to hold anybody accountable for your problems, the first person you have to hold accountable is you. The second person you may be able to hold accountable is the person that's bringing you that tension. But you also need to step up and let that person know and the person above them know that what they're causing, and get a clearer understanding of what's going on in your world, what's going on in their world. Maybe they don't know what's going on. In Mike's situation, the individuals involved knew exactly what was going on, and all of them should have been fired, and Mike shouldn't have had to have left that company, because Mike's thoughts, Mike's desires were for the better of the company and the company's owners and investors. However, there was a few people within that company that did not have those high morals or high ideals. Unfortunately, those people had the ears of the people that determined whether Mike could stay or Mike can leave. In Mike's case, he left. But the whole point is that there's always something better, but you can't quit. I'm not saying don't quit the job. Quit the job. The job is toxic. It's not going to help you. But what I'm saying is don't quit on humanity, don't quit on life, and don't quit on yourself. You can conquer just about anything. You can do just about anything. Don't let anybody sell you short. Don't let anybody give you a wolf ticket. Don't give up on yourself, and understand that your success is right around the corner. Your happiness is right around the corner, but you have to look for it. You have to look for that opportunity, and then when that opportunity comes, you need to seize it. You need to grab onto it, but you can't hold on to it in the sense of that's the only opportunity. There are going to be many. There are going to be several. The problem with most people is that we're presented with many opportunities, but few of us ever take advantage of them. Few of us ever see that opportunity as an opportunity and actually do what we need to do. Is it going to be hard sometimes? Yes, it's going to be hard. But you need to keep your faith, you need to keep your desire to succeed, and you need to keep your knowledge, knowing that you are great and greatness is within you, and you're going to run into some pretty bad people. You know, as Jim Rohn said, you know, there are a few bad people out there, and they move around a lot, but there's also a lot of good people out there, hence the Reefs Across America. Just another quick story, just on the Reefs Across America. I actually set my phone down amongst hundreds of thousands of people during this event. Not my phone, I'm sorry, my camera. Forgot the camera, didn't even realize it. Had just put down another 12 or so reefs, and then realized that I didn't, because I wanted to take a picture, that I didn't have my camera. I walked all the way back up to where I thought I might have placed the camera, and lo and behold, with probably 12 people, including kids, right around my camera was still there. There are good people out there. There are people that mean you good. Find them, and when you find them, keep them close. Get rid of the negative Neds and the negative Nellies, and get people around you that are going to help you grow. And helping you grow is also pointing out your shortcomings so that you have the opportunity to make the necessary corrections, and so that you can move on, grow, and be a happier and more productive person in this world we live in. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. I hope that my little story about Mike worked, and if you're being abused by your executives, bosses, supervisors, do something about it. Don't do anything negative about it, but also remember that part of the learning, that this is a journey, and part of the learning is you learning from your experiences and the experiences of others. I hope that this story worked for some, and I hope that this story was helpful to some people. It may not be you. It could be others, but understand that you deserve better. And if you work hard enough and you keep the faith and you keep doing the right things, you'll eventually get better and you'll have better and you'll be better for it. Thank you, everybody, and have a great and wonderful day. Take care, be well, and again, share the Zurian Show with everybody you can. We truly appreciate you listening. Take care.